From the Financial Times in London, I'm Andrew England and this is FT News. Iranians go to the polls next month for a presidential election with Hassan Rouhani, the centrist president, the favourite to win a second term in office. But he faces a tough challenge from hardline opponents, including Ibrahim Raisi, a senior cleric and former prosecutor general, but who lacks political experience, and Mohammed Bagher Kalibaf, the influential and high-profile mayor of Tehran. On the line with me to discuss the political situation and what to expect of the elections is our Tehran correspondent, Najmi Borzoghmeyer. Hi, Najmi. What are Mr. Rouhani's greatest achievements since he was elected 4 years ago? I mean, what are the key issues that he's going to be campaigning on to get re-elected?
When Mr. Rouhani ran for office in 2013, he promised to strike a nuclear agreement with major powers. And of course, that's the biggest achievement during his presidency. So he is relying on that achievement to be re-elected next month. The next achievement he has had is bringing down inflation from about 40% when he was elected to around 9% now, which is quite unprecedented. Iran, at least in recent decades, has not experienced single-digit inflation much. The other achievement of Mr. Rouhani has been in the health sector when he launched a medical insurance plan for millions of Iranians, mostly poor people who could not afford premiums and were struggling with high medical costs. And of course, he has also had achievements in environmental issues. His government has been an environmental-friendly government, unlike his predecessor, the hardliners.
The hardliners criticised the nuclear deal, saying that it hasn't brought the promised economic benefits to ordinary Iranians. How's he done on the economy and how does he counter that argument?
Well, the economy is still suffering from recession. And it's partly because the government's priority was to bring down inflation, that people should not wake up every morning and see prices have gone up again, which was happening at least in the second term of former president, Mr. Ahmadinejad, that inflation was just skyrocketing. But this achievement has been at the cost of economic recession because the government restricted banks in terms of liquidity and banks were refusing to give loans to businesses. And of course, many businesses could not operate or could not hire more people. They resorted to layoffs. So he has not been very successful in tackling unemployment. And as you know, youth unemployment in Iran is about 26-27%. So that has been probably his weakest point. Of course, when the nuclear deal happened, expectations were really high. Many businessmen thought foreign investments would flow into the country. And of course, there has been disappointment, and especially because banking sanctions continued despite the nuclear deal.
When he was elected in 2013, he had the backing of what we call the reformist segments of society who wanted more political space, more freedoms and that kind of thing. Has he delivered on those issues?
We cannot say political activists are totally happy with him or the art community, the cultural community have achieved what they wanted. But there is a big change in relative terms. So Iran has moved forward in terms of cultural and political freedom, but still far away from where activists would like to be.
And what are his relations like with the country's religious hierarchy, particularly Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, who is the supreme leader and ultimately the main decision maker?
Ayatollah Khamenei supported Mr. Rouhani to reach the nuclear agreement. And of course, that support was essential. Without that support, Mr. Rouhani could not do anything. But after the nuclear agreement, Mr. Khamenei criticized what he called the rush into signing an agreement because he was disappointed that banking sanctions were not lifted. And some sanctions continued in practice, even though in theory they were all lifted. And the other thing is the economic policies of the government. Ayatollah Khamenei has been calling for economy of resistance. It's quite a vague term. I don't know what exactly it means. It has not been elaborated on. But with some kind of indications that he has given, it means that the products that are manufactured domestically should not be imported. And of course, this comes at a time that the government is calling for foreign investments, attraction of foreign investments, at least $50 billion annually. So it's not clear whether Ayatollah Khamenei is saying that we should close the doors to foreign investments or close the doors to certain imports. But he clearly is not happy with the unemployment situation and overall economic policies.
A lot of observers seem to be thinking that Mr. Raisi is the most serious challenger to Mr. Rouhani, yet he has no political experience and he doesn't have a national profile. Why is he seen as the main contender?
Because of the organizations that are supposedly supporting him. There is suspicion that the powerful Revolutionary Guards are supporting him. The senior clergy in Qom, the conservative ones, are supporting him. So that's why he has been considered a serious rival to Mr. Rouhani. It's true that he doesn't have any political and economic management background, and I've been showing his picture to some random people in the street. Do you know him? And of course they say no, or if they know him, they can't remember who he was. So he's an unknown figure, which can be a good thing and a bad thing. He's unknown, so hardliners have to really work hard to encourage people to vote for him. And on the other hand, the fact that no one knows him creates some kind of potential, and hardliners hope that they can encourage people to create a social wave for a new champion, for a new hero of the poor and religious people to garner their votes, I don't know, overnight, in the last days, basically. So it's very early to say he has a good chance to win. But we have to wait to see how people would react.
And what about Mr. Khalifaf? We know he ran in 2013 and came second to Mr. Rouhani. He is the mayor of Tehran, which is a very influential, high-profile post. How seriously should we take him as a candidate?
Hardliners are divided, actually, who to support, because Mr. Ghalibaf, 4 years ago, was very close to victory before Mr. Rouhani enjoyed the support of pro-reform leaders in the last days. And of course, that was a game changer. Everything changed. So he lost the battle 4 years ago in the very last days. So his supporters believe he has more votes, and hence hardliners should support him. But the problem with Mr. Ghalibaf is his opponents in the hardline camp say there is a good chance for Mr. Raisi to gain new votes. But Mr. Ghalibaf is already known. People know who he is, his links to hardliners, his alleged links to the Revolutionary Guards, and some files of corruption that reformists raised against him. And of course, he denied any corruption in Tehran municipality. But corruption is going to be a very big issue. And one of the presidential candidates is first vice president Ishaq Jahangiri, who has promised to disclose the corruption of hardliners when they were in power. So the big battle, the big fighting, is going to be over corruption when both sides are accusing each other of failing to fight with corruption or giving opportunities to aides and close allies.
From where you're sitting in Tehran, who do you think is the favorite going into this contest?
As we are speaking today, it seems that Mr. Rouhani is ahead of his rivals. But we have to see if there will be a big protest vote against Mr. Rouhani or not, because there are many people who are not going to vote for hardliners, but they are not going to vote for Mr. Rouhani because they are fed up with the economic hardships and everything. So we have to wait and see if those undecided voters eventually vote for Mr. Rouhani or not.
Look, thank you very much for joining us, Najmi, and we'll be watching the elections closely.
Thank you.
Thank you. The latest episode of the Next 5 podcast is all about health prevention and vaccines. I speak to Kate Hashey at GSK.
For every dollar invested in improving health, there's an economic return of $2 to $4.
Murray Aitken at IQVIA Institute for Human Data Science.
The benefits of adult vaccination are compelling.
And David Sinclair at the International Longevity Centre.
Preventable conditions amongst those aged 50 to 64 in the UK cost $27 billion a year.
Listen to the full episode of the Next 5 wherever you get your podcasts.